Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Wyn Free, who is the principal author of a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. He's got quite a lot of experiences to relate, which led up to the current period of time. But before I actually bring him into the programme, I would like to tell you that from my personal point of view, Edgar Cayce and his teachings were responsible for me finding my own path. And very briefly, it came about through my reading some of Edgar's readings where he mentioned Atlantis, and for some reason I was highly attracted to that period of history. And it was through that I found my own spiritual teacher, and later went on to run a branch of the Atlantean Society, and here I am today doing a lot more than I originally did. So are you there, Wyn? What on earth is that? Hello, Wyn, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, fine, yeah. Sounded like we were being attacked by aliens then. That's
okay.
Weird noises. Anyway, how are you? Did you hear my introduction?
I did.
Oh, fine, okay. I think one of the first things everybody would like to know is how did you get to the point where you decided to write the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce?
Well, I have been a long-time Edgar Cayce fan, having read, probably I could say the same thing about myself, as you said, that years ago, Edgar Cayce started me on my path. I would say that I was kind of a skeptical physics major in Berkeley, California, and as I read about Edgar Cayce, I said, this guy really had to exist, and if he existed, there was something more to life than science, and kind of put me on a path of metaphysics. So then, 25 years later, or thereabouts, I come across the website of a young man by the name of David Wilcott, and he was not presenting himself very well on that website, and he was a little awkward, but I read his story, and I said, this guy is telling the truth, then he has to be reincarnation of Edgar Cayce.
Yeah.
And I interviewed David for a magazine I was writing for at the time, and the editor read my interview, and she said, Wyn, you're right, he's Edgar Cayce, and I think you're the guy to write the book about it. And that's how I got started.
Right. So, tell us then about the three incredible experiences that you had that carried you further from, I believe it started in the year 2000.
And well, I started writing the book. Do you know that background sound, Mike, when I'm talking?
Yeah, you sound a little bit raspy, but that may be, if I may suggest, perhaps because you're perhaps a little too near the mouthpiece. I don't know if that is the case, but heard your earlier part quite okay.
Okay, is this better now?
Well, that's okay, definitely, yes.
That's better, okay. All right, well, I went a little bit further from the mouthpiece. I'm using a headset, and I wasn't...
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. I think it's finding a happy medium, because we don't want you to disappear into the background either.
You know what? It's the challenge of every person who channels to be a happy medium.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's a bad joke.
Yes. You aren't happy enough. What about these three experiences you had?
Well... You know, let me say that most everybody that reads my book reads The Cases Made, and that this guy really is Edgar Cayce. The statistics putting him together with Edgar Cayce are probably on the order of billions to one, you know, the circumstances, statistically. But what's most important is the voice that spoke through Edgar Cayce was now speaking through David, and they were explaining who they are and how they operate and what's happening on our planet right now. And as I was writing the book, I said, well, if somebody else told me this, I would discard it. It's too far out. It sounds like science fiction.
Yeah.
But being that this guy has to be Edgar Cayce, if he has the same source as Edgar Cayce, then I better pay attention because this might be real. And of course, I've read your channelings, and it's very much in the same order of the things you're saying, you know, in the work you're bringing forth. And that is that we're in the midst of a dimensional shift, that there's going to be a division of souls. Some are going to graduate, some are going to repeat this realm, and the time is very short to make up your mind. And when I say make up your mind, that's not the best way of putting it. It'd be better to say the time is short to adjust your life so that you can hold a higher vibration and ensure that you're not going to repeat this level again. And the voice that was speaking through David identified itself as the Ra group. And they said that they were composed of graduates of this realm. People are beings that at one time or another had physical bodies and had gone through thousands of lifetimes and gotten off the wheel of reincarnation, as some religions call it. And now they team together on the other side as pure energy, and with groups and subgroups and subgroups, and they were helping those of us that were still here to graduate also. So I didn't put this in the book, but it became obvious to me as I was writing it that the Ra group was one of those energies that we would have thought of as God throughout our history.
They had
been intervening here and helping, and they were part of Christianity, part of the Hebrew incident, and they were talking to people just as they talked through David Wilcock or Edgar Cayce, and they didn't really present this group soul scenario because it was a bit too sophisticated, so they just let themselves be seen as God. And now there's this extraordinary explanation for how things work that I've never even heard of before, and it's starting to make sense to me. And I'm still wondering, I said, I can't really prove this is true, so I'm just going to have to put it in the book and let people make up their own mind. Mm-hmm. Then, 2 years into writing the book, I meet a woman who becomes my girlfriend, and we are taking a drive from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon. I would say about maybe a month or 6 weeks after we had gotten to know each other. And it was pouring rain, and I did a little prayer of protection, calling in the light. And at the end of the prayer of protection, I asked, and I really asked it like a joke, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered, and she started channeling on the spot, although I wasn't sure. I thought she was kidding me.
Amazing, yeah.
So they said, please ask us some questions. And I asked questions for about 10 minutes, and then she said, that was really strange. And she said, I thought she was making it up, and she said she wasn't making it up, and it was just the strangest thing that ever happened to her. Mm. So then we continued on to Portland, Oregon, and we were in a hotel. It was about 3 days later, and I asked her if she wanted to try it again. And she said, okay. So we put a tape recorder on, and I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered again and said, we're here. And so I started asking questions, and I said, well, how come my girlfriend can do this? And they said she was they called her an outpost messenger. They said she actually incarnated into this level to bring these messages forward. And then I asked them, I said, I was thinking maybe she was making this up out of some part of her subconscious. So I asked, can you guys predict the newspaper headline? And they said they could. And then they said, watch for this headline on Memorial Day weekend in 2002. And that was 2 weeks later. And the headline happened. At which point, I knew she couldn't, it was real. Now, I wasn't sure it was positive. I wasn't sure I could trust it. But they just said, ask us questions. So for the next 6 months, I'm asking anything I can think of. And, sometimes they won't answer a question because it would violate my own growth patterns. But in general, I'm kind of having an open door to the most amazing kinds of information. And I was asking the questions about what was in the book I was writing. And they're answering it exactly the same as was in the book.
Yeah.
And talking about ascension and the dimensional shift. And she didn't know those answers. Mm-hmm. So I started to get a little bit of a shiver because on one hand, I was just being a scholar writing about David Wilcock. And now I've got this amazing cross-reference happening in my own life that seems to be a second opinion on the same set of circumstances.
Yes.
And then, of course, this voice that was talking to me identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and I got definitions like God of the Old Testament, the creator God of this realm, the group that was talking to Joseph Smith, and they said they were the same, and they described themselves also as a group soul. But they were different than the Ra group, and I got to understand the difference. The Elohim that I was speaking with had never come into this realm.
Right.
The ones that did come in got lost here. So they maintained themselves as pure energy outside of time, and the Ra group did come into this realm and graduated from this realm. And so the two groups are probably, at least from the information I've got, are the major energies, intelligences that we have seen and experienced as God throughout our history.
Yeah.
And Elohim group is kind of an architect building sacred through sacred geometry and beaming through all the matrices. And the Ra group is kind of the way they described it is like they're the builders, they're the executors, they keep it all running. They're closer in, and the Ra group has this huge wisdom because of their ability, because they graduated from this realm, because they've come through the ranks, so they know what it takes to graduate. And the Elohim group has got this great ability to create miraculous events because they can start from outside the top of the matrix and being true. And both groups do not violate free will, so they have to be asked. And so part of what I've come to realize is an important piece of my mission is to create the reality of this for people so that they can look at it, study it, come to their own conclusion, feel the resonances, and if they choose to, they can ask for help. Now, of course, if you just ask for God or pray to God, these groups will, I think they are the prime listeners of those kinds of prayers, and that they can, they'll respond to that. You don't need to know that there's two groups. You don't need to know all the complexity here. But many people are connecting with my work, and it's resonating, and making it more real than the way God has been described in religion throughout history.
Right.
That makes sense, Mike?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, apparently the third amazing phenomena that you experienced, which you can tell us about, was when you put a journal next to your bed and you would wake up in the middle of the night to record your dreams. Tell us about that period.
Well, this is getting pretty crazy.
yes.
Here I am writing this book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. Then I have a girlfriend that's channeling a voice that says of the Elohim, and I asked the question in one of the channelings. I said, I know I exist in other dimensions. Can you guys tell me how I can connect with those other dimensions? And they said, write your dreams down, and you'll make a connection. So that night, I put a pad by my bed, and I would wake up and scratch things down on the pad. And in the morning, when I looked at the pad, I could, there was a series of sentences to my surprise. And the sentences meant something like this. You're supposed to be the front man. We're not doing this for entertainment. It has a serious purpose. It's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. Communication from another dimension. Just like Casey, he slept to connect with this dimension. So it seemed as if Rod Roof was talking to me in my dreams.
Yeah.
And in my sleep. And the interesting thing is, 2 years before, I had a reading from David Wilcock, who was the guy I was writing the book about, the Edgar Casey book. And in that reading, they ended it telling me, watch your dreams, and we'll be giving you more guidance. And I didn't take it seriously. I didn't write my dreams down or start paying attention. I figured they said that to everyone. Now, 2 years later, they're talking to me in my dreams. But they seem to be. This has been going on ever since. And then, of course, the other thing that happened was that Daphne was freaking out over all this. She was getting something called negatively attacked in the inner realms. And she would wake up scared, screaming, frightened. And eventually, she just couldn't handle it anymore and left. And then a couple of, I guess about 6 weeks later, 4 to 6 weeks later, I saw my old girlfriend, and when she came over, she woke me up in the middle of the night and said, get the tape recorder out, and it started coming through her.
Yeah.
And they said that what I was doing was really important, and I reached them through Terry. And I didn't believe it. I mean, I felt like I still feel like I'm in a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It can't be real, but obviously it is. Yes. In spite of the fact that my mind has, you know, a hard time taking it in, it's just too consistent. I mean, I'm sure you channel, Mike. You must have gone through some kind of experience like this when it started happening for you, yes?
Not quite as dramatic, but yes, it happened in a sudden way, just like yours, yes. Did you want to know very briefly?
Yes, please tell me.
That won't take up much time. I mean, it's your interview, but what I would say is that I did take a message about 30 to 40 years ago. I was woken up at about 6 o'clock in the morning after having gone to bed very late at night. I felt as bright as a new pin, or whatever the expression is, and I knew that I was being urged to write something down. And I wrote about four pages on in a small notebook, and basically what it was telling me was about the group that I had been away and visited over the weekend, which were actually a little bit dubious. And the message signed off as "I am that I am." Now, until 2004, that was the only time I ever took a message in those circumstances. And what happened to me was that I started to write articles for my website, and then Nancy Tate, who is an excellent channeler herself, said to me one day, "Saint Germain wants to speak with you," through her, of course, and he told me to sit by my computer each morning and take messages from him and the extraterrestrial beings, and that is how it started. And once I managed to get started, that was a difficult time. I didn't quite know how to approach it. I was initially channeling 6 days out of seven. So that's it, really. That's how it all started.
So when you do this, you're basically typing it, yes?
I type it straight on, yes, that's right. Type it out straight away, yes.
Yes. Okay. You don't really speak it out loud or put it into a tape recorder?
Oh, no. I consider that what I'm getting is a telepathic message, and
right,
it seems to come to me in what I might call ideas. It's not quite so much the words, and yet I find I have to find the right words to express the idea that they put into my mind.
Uh-huh. Now, it's interesting.
Yeah?
What's interesting is that, you know, I have this experience now of the channelings with both Terry and with Daphne.
Mm.
And Terry seems to channel more like you, where they put ideas and then she has to convert the ideas into words, right?
Right, yes.
In Daphne's case, they seem to be, and actually David Wilcock also, they seem to feed the words directly into her mind.
Right, and yes.
It's a more, a different experience. And one of the amazing things about the phenomena of channeling, and this is where I think no one has put this together for the public, and it's a rather important thing, is that so many people are getting the same messages.
Yes.
And that they never knew anything about all of this stuff. It's kind of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
Where if you do a study of it, you'll see that there's definitely an intelligence that's trying to give us a wake-up call and coming through so many different people in so many different forms, but in general, the same message. And I say in general because I've learned that occasionally, just because something is channeled, you shouldn't believe it blindly, because there are negative sources in the other dimensions also. So occasionally there's something that is at right angles, and I believe it's designed to throw you off. So many of them are just parallel going in the same direction.
Yes.
And you know, I one of the people that follows my work actually loves your channelings, and he sends them out to our group.
Yes.
I was just looking at one, Kieran.
Yes.
Remember Kieran?
Came through today, yes.
Was that just today, Kieran?
Well, it could be. The last one was over a week ago, I think.
I think I'm probably talking about one over a week ago.
Yes, I see, yes, right.
I think so. You know, Daphne and I were talking, and we were wondering if Kieran could be Cryon. Now, sometimes they don't use the same name because they don't want people to compete with each other.
No, I can say most definitely that he's not Kryon. I do read Kryon's books, who is a master I admire very much so. Kieron came to me, funnily enough, through someone else. He is the only exception, and the psychic he came through, he told me that he was from Venus. And the name he gave me was Kieron, yes. Yeah. So there's no confusion there. He's certainly not Kryon.
Uh-huh. No.
It's quite different.
One of the things that I have been experimenting and learning to work with, with these group soul energies, is that they're not just words on a piece of paper. They are actually able to beam into this realm right now for people. And they can, if the Elohim describe it as they can go through the matrices and bring love light energy into the physical space where people are.
Right. Yeah.
And as I was talking with them, I could see their energy in the room.
Right.
I could feel an energy in the room. But it took me a while to realize that that energy that I was feeling was, in fact, them.
Yes, of course.
I had felt vibratory energy in a room many times, sitting in spiritual teachers and whatever, and I recognized the feeling of that energy. But I never dreamed that that energy was intelligent and was able to look at me and draw impressions. So what I realized was that the healing, the important aspect of healing and upliftment in this realm is for a human to be able to kind of be a receiving station for the energies of these other dimensions.
Yes.
And then move it through their bodies, through their chakras, and into the earth. And that is what balances the vibrations around you and the earth. And that when you start doing that, other people can feel it. You lift the vibration of your physical environment, and wherever you go, wherever you are now creating an energy of upliftment. And whether people understand all this metaphysical stuff, whether they understand all this stuff about dimensional shifts or whatever, they can still feel that energy and be uplifted by it.
So
the important aspect of all of this is not so much the intellectual understanding of the process, but to be able to hold the energy in your physical location and raise the vibration in your physical location, which of course makes you happier, raises your vibration, and raises the vibration of the people around you.
Right.
And if enough people could do that, which is probably unlikely, but theoretically, if enough people could do that, we could lift the whole vibration of the planet.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I believe that. Now, can I ask you one or two questions that relate to information you were given by the Elohim? Tell us the significance of the end of the 75,000-year cycle.
Well, the way they're describing it, this is like both groups are giving exactly the same explanation.
Yeah.
There is an energy that pervades all space, which metaphysical people can call the unified field. Spiritual people sometimes call it prana or shakti or Christians call it Holy Spirit. But there's an energy that pervades everything, and if none of those words familiar to you, probably the word that everyone recognizes, the word vibes or vibrations.
Right.
People can walk in a room and feel good vibes or bad vibes.
Yes, yes.
And that is this energy. And this energy, the way creation works, is this energy radiates from the center of our universe, then it goes to the center of our galaxy, like a relay station.
Right.
And then it goes from the center of the galaxy through all the star systems in the galaxy, but in particular, it goes through our solar system, and it goes through our bodies, and then it goes into the Earth. And this is the prime building block of the physical universe.
Yes.
And the energy is not equally strong. It goes through cycles over time where it's stronger or less strong. And two of the major cycles happen approximately 75,000 years apart. And we are in one of those cycles right now where the vibration of our solar system is the highest it's been for 75,000 years. And this has been a very predictable cycle, which is why there are so many prophecies relating to this particular time period, like the Mayan calendar ending in December of 2012 is specifically related to this high vibration, and that is its highest point.
Yeah.
The Kali Yuga, the Hindus, I believe, relates to this period. The period that Jesus referred to relates to this period. And there's many changes that are happening as a result of this high vibration. And there's planets are getting brighter. There's every single planet in our solar system has a phenomena attached to it that never happened before, whether it's getting brighter, whether it's got more dust, whether the pole shifts are changing. I have a whole chapter in my book relating to all these changes that the planets are going through. And, of course, we all know that there's weather changes happening, and there's increased natural disasters, and there's increased sunspot activity happening right, you know, in our local Earth realm. But what is most important is that the Earth itself, which has got a consciousness attached to it, is lifting its vibration from third chakra to fourth chakra. That's the easy way of understanding it.
Yes,
there's going to be the paradigm is changing from power to compassion. And we are in the midst of that change right now. And that for a human to continue in this higher vibration of the Earth, their own heart chakra has to be open slightly more than half, or else they won't fit.
Right.
And this is the meaning of this division of souls, that there are going to be those that graduate into this higher vibration, and there are those that are going to need to repeat this lower vibration.
Yes.
And what's happening is the people who are cycle repeaters, according to the channelings, end up getting moved to another planet in another star system to start over lessons that they did not learn here for maybe thousands of additional lifetimes.
Yeah.
And supposedly, the Ra group is in charge. They've done this in the past, of moving souls from one place to another. In the book, Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, they talked about moving souls from Mars to Maldek. Maldek was the planet that exploded into the asteroids.
Yes.
And to the Earth. And the Earth became the destination for those cycle repeaters from those two planets.
Right.
And the other thing that came out is that Earth was actually a destination for cycle repeaters from all kinds of planets all over the universe.
Yeah.
And they did something unusual here, and that was they normally don't take cycle repeaters from different planets and put them together on the same planet. And that this was an experiment, and I think their idea was that everyone that came here from all these different planets is still holographically connected to their original space in the universe. And if they could get everyone to evolve together on Earth, it would then evolve the entire universe. And in general, they don't think that was a good idea in retrospect, because as we all know, the history of our planet has been, the history has been filled with incidents of people trying to create hierarchy, slavery, and being the special group instead of evolving as a whole, and that the evolution of Earth was retarded as a result.
Yeah, I can agree with you entirely. Another question I'd like to ask you is that I think it's very appropriate, as we're in the Easter period, what part has Jesus played in this scenario?
Well, that's a good question. As I understand it, and I asked this in a specific question, and in the channeling, they confirmed this. That doesn't mean it's true. I say to everyone, please don't believe words of the channeling is verbatim. You have to, look at it as a pattern and make your own study of this. Jesus was a member of the Ra group who chose to take a series of incarnations in order to help evolve this planet. And in the life of Jesus, he was, if you recall, I said that the operative goal for a human was to be able to hold this vibration of the higher realms, bring it through their body, anchor it to the earth, in which case a human now is lifting the vibration of everything around him, not just himself. And Jesus was someone that was, I believe, a master at doing this, of anchoring this energy through his body into the earth. In fact, that's exactly what I read in the channeling I read you had done from... You're on exactly the same idea.
Right.
The goal of Jesus was not to start a religion, but to lift the vibration of the planet, and hopefully other people would learn how to do that by being around him. They would continue that work, and it would spread from those people to their children, to their friends, and through generations, and that eventually, 2,000 years later, the planet would be in a much higher vibration. So many people were holding that energy.
Yeah.
But what happens is that when somebody does something like Jesus did, unfortunately, the energy of it does not transmute to many people, but just the words. And then people are trying to follow the words without holding the energy, without being able to be those cosmic receiving stations and anchoring stations and holding that vibration of loving energy around them, uplift the realm. And then it becomes a belief pattern in your mind as opposed to a real experience. Now, I believe there's many, many people on the planet now who are holding and doing exactly what I'm saying. And Jesus said this would happen. He said, these things I do, you can do and much more. And I believe that's what he meant. He meant that as you open up in this way, you now become a bridge between dimensions. And you actually give these group souls, and if you just call them God, that's perfectly fine, because they don't care. You give these group souls some reign in here, and you give them permission to help us uplift this realm.
Yeah.
As I've learned, they can do miracles. They're intelligent. It's not random. They're paying close attention. They can assign part of their group to someone as angels or helpers to help a person in their own evolution. And they, you know, one of my channelings, I talked about a nuclear weapon, and they said they could stop the nuclear weapon. And they've done it in the past. But they need us to request it. We need to request their help. Otherwise, they have to stand back and let us just, you know, live to our own devices.
Absolutely, yes.
So, now, that answer my question on that?
Well, what I'd like to do is actually talk very briefly, or get you to talk very briefly, about David Wilcox, because you found, I believe, that his coming fulfilled Edgar Cayce's prophecy. Perhaps you could tell us the circumstances in which you came to that conclusion.
Well, the connection between David and Wilcox and Edgar Cayce are quite extraordinary. David was living in New Paltz, New York in 1996, and he started to write his dreams down.
Mm-hmm.
And when he woke up in the morning, he had sentence fragments. And, you know, it was very similar to what happened to me 2 years later.
Right.
And he thought he was making it up, but there was an intelligence that was appearing on this piece of notepad, and they were making predictions for his future. They were making predictions for the world. And the prediction started to come true, and he knew it was real. So for the next year, he was mastering this ability to get these messages, and he would write them, and he would take them into a tape recorder. And after a year, he called it his dream voice, asked him to move to Virginia Beach. And the Virginia Beach, of course, is where the Edgar Cayce Institute is.
Yes.
And when David moved there, people started staring at him because it turns out he was this spitting image of an Edgar Cayce.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned is people tend to look like their past lives. Because when you die, the soul memorizes your DNA, and when it enters the new body, it programs the fetus with the DNA of your past life. So now, David asked his dream voice, he said, "Why do I look like Edgar Cayce?" And they said, "Because you were Edgar Cayce." And see the parallels. But this lifetime, if you're going to do your highest purpose, you're not going to do past life readings and health readings. You're going to explain this dimensional shift to your plan. So then David started studying Edgar Cayce, and he found out that Edgar Cayce, in his own readings, predicted that he would return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, and may be a liberator of the world. And, of course, it's 1998, David's in Virginia Beach, and he's supposed to explain the dimensional shift to the masses. And then David finds out, not only does he look like Edgar Cayce, but his father looks like Edgar Cayce's father, his friend at the time looked like Edgar Cayce's wife, and his astrology chart, his five personal planets, were in the same sign as Edgar Cayce's. Sun, Moon,
Incredible.
Mercury, Venus, and Mars. One chance in 260,000. And that's a lot of circumstances tying into Edgar Cayce.
I believe it also, this similarity between people, also extended to not only David's friends, but Edgar Cayce's friends in their similar looks.
Absolutely, yeah. David was looking up everybody.
Yes.
Finding five or six people that were just remarkable. If somebody goes to my website, they can look at those pictures. They're really amazing. You know, the stuff we're talking about, Mike, is so... Now, I'm sure your audience, this is not going to be that amazing. But for the general public, this is one heck of a story. Because I have talked to many people that have never heard about channeling or dimensional shifts. But when they hear the story of David Wilcock and all the similarities between him and Edgar Cayce, it's a showstopper. It goes to the logical mind and says, how can this be? How can all these things be so if there's not something to this? That's probably one of the greatest values of the book that I wrote, is that for people that are skeptical with logical minds, it's got so much evidence, solid evidence, that there's something going on tying these two people together.
Yes. What you can clear up, perhaps, because I believe you know the answer, is what did Jesus mean by the rapture when it's also associated with the ascension? And some people, of course, refer to this period as one of the second coming.
Yes. Well, to the best of my information, and I'm not sure this is true, that Jesus is not going to come back in a body. Now, I may be wrong here. Maybe he's already back, and maybe he's in secret somewhere, and people are cultivating him. But in one of the instances through David, this is David, not through me, they said they decided it would just be too hard to bring him back here because there would be no place for him to fit in, and people would fight over it. But the energy of the Christ available to everyone, and that I would suggest that right now there are many, many people on this planet holding the Christ consciousness and sharing it with other people. And of course, the Christ consciousness is being, and we all do this, we all hold this sometimes, being a, as I described earlier, someone who can anchor cosmic energies through their body and into the earth. Now, I've asked a lot of questions about ascension and rapture, and I can share with you what they've said through both David Wilcock and my sources, which is fairly close. And there is a earth that exists right at this moment on a higher octave than this one, in a higher dimension. And that earth already has beings on it that are operating at a higher octave. And that it is possible to go from this earth to that earth. And there's two ways of going there. One is to die and incarnate on that earth, and the other is to ascend, in which case your body would actually disappear from this realm and end up in that other earth.
Yes.
Now, apparently, there's something taking place where these two dimensions of our planet are coming together. And, but now this is where it gets tricky, because this may not be exactly correct, but I'll put it out anyway, that there's the potential of things getting really, really, really tough here in the physical over the next 10 years. And that there's a lot of what they would call probability vortices, where nothing is set in stone, and it's the consciousness of humans that are creating the potentials. But at one point, a few years ago, potentials looked like things are going to get very, very tough. And if they get really tough, let's just suppose there were the circumstances where it would be very hard to stay out of fear if things got really bad. Even if you're a light worker, unless you group together with other light workers, found a safe spot in the country, which is probably going to happen for many people, if you're in an area where things get tough and it becomes dog-eat-dog, the only option is fear. And that if you go into fear and hold the vibration of fear, you could potentially lose your ticket to get into the higher realm and have to repeat this cycle again.
Yes.
So ascension was one option of being able to get out of this realm and ensure that you won't have to go through that circumstance where it would be hard to stay out of here.
Right.
And what they're telling me in recent channelings is that most people, in order to qualify for ascension, you have to study this and not be scared of it. It would be as if a tour bus driver is coming up to your house and saying, "All aboard, are you ready?"
Yeah.
And you ask him, "Well, where are we going?" And he's going to say, "Well, don't you know, I don't have time to tell you. We've only got a moment, so you got to get on now or we'll have to leave you behind."
Right.
So
yeah.
This is something that takes a lot of study, because there's free will, and it's not going to happen, I don't think, unless some part of you flows with your energies when this happens. Now, it's not going to be a one-time event. Supposedly, there's going to be three or four cycles or waves that are going to happen between the dates that they gave me was between 2009 and 2017.
Yeah.
And after 2017, the portal closes. And the other thing they're saying is that it looks like that people will only be able, you have to kind of write your ticket between now and 2012.
Right.
Because the vision of souls will kind of be very, very strong by 2012. And even though everyone's on the same planet, there's going to be like two separate realities, and it's not going to be easy to go from one to the other.
Right.
I'm
going to have to stop you there, as much as I wish we could go on, because I did promise you a little time to tell us about your website addresses, maybe about your downloads that you have, your conference call. So take the next couple of minutes or so to tell our listeners whatever you wish about your website.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. And I would like to suggest, first of all, that your listeners should read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and make their own connection, first of all, with the Ra Group. Half the book is the channelings of the Ra Group. And the book is available at bookstores everywhere, Amazon, at my website, caseysback.com, or they can order it by phone at 800-345-BOOK. And then we are doing conference calls. Actually, we're doing it every day of the week. And I have gotten these two group souls to agree to be on the call energetically. So the people that are on the calls are actually having an experience of the energy of these group souls. And it's very important to have an ongoing reference point for this energy, because otherwise it's very easy to lose this in the consensus reality of what everyone else is going through. So on Monday nights, this is on BBS, we do a conference call that's actually at 6 p.m. that's broadcast on BBS. On Wednesday night, we do a live channeling with Matt Edwards, where people can ask questions. And on Sunday morning, we're doing a planetary healing from 10 a.m. Pacific time to 12 noon. And people can get more information about all of this at the website higher-vision.org. higher-vision.org. And also we have a free download of what would be my next book, which is called Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And anyone that would like a copy of that, just email me at winfrey@yahoo.com, and we'll email you back a copy. And it's got many of the questions that everyone's asking, like, what is ascension? How does the Elohim relate to us? What happens when you die? There's things they're telling you that are in there that have never been brought forward to mankind in terms of how the realms interact. And I urge everyone to take advantage and request this free ebook.
Right, Wynn, I'm going to have to stop you there because I need to thank you very much for coming onto the program. It's been a very, very interesting conversation with you. I need to announce my next week's guest, who is Susie Ward, who is known to most people already because she channels Matthew's messages. So that's all I'm going to say on that. I will pass out your website addresses and a little bit of information and leave it on the website for people who want to follow it up. So thank you very much, Wynn, again, for coming on to the program. Very enjoyable.
Mike, thank you for inviting me, and thank you for creating such a beautifully loving space in these things.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. All the best to you. So I don't know whether my listeners are still in touch with me, but if you are, thank you for being with me. God bless you all.